We are up to Halacha Yud Aleph. We are in the middle of Simen Pei Zayin. We're in the middle of Simen Pei Zayin. Roishoy Kesem Paz. Paz means fine gold. We are in the middle of the laws that teach us how to deal with animals on Shabbos. So most of Simen Pei Zayin, Halacha Yud Aleph. So far we have discussed mostly the laws of carrying. Animal is not allowed to carry on Shabbos, just like a person may not carry on Shabbos. There's a list of shoes behemtai. So one must be careful to make sure that its animal is not carrying on Shabbos. That would include wearing things that is not called a levush, which basically means almost anything. And only things that are needed for its shmirah, a harness, a bit, a leash, and things like that. Now we come to other things relating to animals, specifically feeding animals. When and how are you allowed to feed animals on Shabbos? So the first thing is, the first rule which we really says later on is, you're only allowed to feed animals that are dependent upon you. You're not allowed to feed stray animals. Animals that are out in the street that you have no responsibility for. No, you may not feed the birds. He's going to talk here very soon about feeding birds on Shabbos Parsha Shira. But generally, you're going to the zoo or feeding pigeons. You want to go to the park and there are pigeons and you want to feed the pigeons. It's really? Pigeons? How are they supposed to survive?
They're garbage. They're rats. They're flying rats.
They figured it out.
They survive from the poison.
So they're garbage.
They're illegals. Obama will grant them amnesty. They're under Obamacare. Very good. Okay, so the halach is you're not allowed to feed an animal, you have no responsibility. That includes pigeons, that includes cats. However, there is one exception, he's going to discuss this, dogs. You're allowed to feed a stray dog. Why? For two reasons. Number one, dogs provide protection. Dogs provide, believe it or not, well, dogs, that's what it seems that dogs, it's good for society. Chazal tell us, it's good for society for there to be dogs. Dogs protect us from wild animals, from ganavim. They befriend human beings, they're man's best friend, and somehow it's for our benefit. So out of appreciation for the service that dogs provide for mankind, we are allowed to feed dogs even on Shabbos. That's one reason. A second reason is because dogs are always hungry. Dogs are cursed. They're always in a state of starvation. They're always in a state of tsar. So because of tsar bali chayim, you're allowed to feed dogs even on Shabbos. We'll come to that soon. But here we're dealing with other animals which you own and you're responsible for. You're allowed to feed them. The only problem is when you feed an animal, you like to measure. You don't want to give it too much, too little. It would be your derech during the weekday to fill up a bowl, a very precise amount of feed for the animal. Shabbos, one is not allowed to measure. It's a gezerah. You may come to engage in business practices. Shabbos is a time not to involve yourself in business at all. Any form of measuring is a tolada of umotzi chefzecha v'daber davar. It's not in the spirit of Shabbos. So therefore, if you want to measure an amount of food for an animal, you have to do it with estimation. You may not do it with precision. Halacha Yud Aleph, lo yimdoid adam so'irim lo seslef yibehemta. A person may not measure barley to give it to an animal. Ela mishayar. The best you can do is can make an estimation, but oimid with an estimation, but oimid aitar, the best of your ability. Halacha Yud Beis. Agudos shachas im eino kosher bekesh shel kayam. Let's say you have bundles of shachas of grain of things that grow from the ground, hay, and they come in bundles, and the bundles are tied with a kesher shel kayam. The same way you're not allowed to make a kesher shel kayam, you're not allowed to undo to open up a kesher shel kayam on Shabbos. Tahayinu shnei kesharim zel gavzeh, which means a double knot. Motu lahatiroi lidnoi lifnei behemta. You're allowed to open it up. As long as it's not a kesha shel kayama, you're allowed to open up the band and the knot and give it to the animals. Next halacha, if you have melons, gourds, and you need to cut, it's too hard for the animals to sit on their own. Destructively. Now I open up the kesher. Kesher kayama you cannot, never can open. You can break the knot. You can take a scissor and cut the string. But to open up the kesher,
from the
because the kesher ain't a kayama. Agudas im Einoi, Agudas Shachas im Einoi kosher b'keshel kayama. If it's a keshel kayama, then you can cut it in a destructive way, but not to actually open the knot. Opening the knot is always under all conditions also. You can take a scissors, even a scissor which has that will be the next sugi, the klish l'achtel yisar. You can take the scissor and cut the rope in a destructive way for the animals. Okay, next halacha mutter lahatil l'behemta mutter lachtech diluin. If you have kashim l'fnei behema. And a person has melons, and this is what the animals normally eat, but the melons must be cut in order that they can eat it. If they're not cut, it's too hard, the pieces are too large, the animals cannot eat it. Since you are responsible to feed your animals, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos as well, but don't cut into teeny little pieces, because that would be a tolada of toichein, of grinding. Provided that the dilum, these melons, were already detached from the ground before Shabbos, because you're not allowed to detach grain from the ground, food from the ground on Shabbos. That's a molocha d'oraisa. And that is no question you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. We'll see about animals in a moment. If the dilum are soft and it's not necessary for you to cut it in order that the animals can eat it, even though the animals would prefer to have cut dilum, it's osur. And the reason the Mefarshim explain is because the difference between tainug and tsar. Anything that you're doing for your animals that's midin tsar and you're responsible for is mutter. But even though if you're responsible for your animals, the reason why you're doing it is in order to give your animals tainug, pleasure, there's no heter on Shabbos to give tainug to your animals. Number one, the animals are muksa. It's a tircha yesera. You're involving yourself in excessive labor on Shabbos. It's not in the spirit of Shabbos to do this for your animals. Halacha yud gimel. Now here we come to an amazing halacha. And this is based upon a drasha. Mutu lahamid behemtoi al gabi hasavim mechubodim kidei shetoichal ki ein zos molocha etzla ma shetakar hasavim adraba naichle. We spent 2 days already on this sugya of shvisas behemto. Anything that you cannot do, your animals may not do. And if either you find yourself in a situation where your animals are working on Shabbos, you're in a lot of trouble. We discussed the solutions of giving it to your wife, to a woman, because a woman is not necessarily mechubodim shvis behemto. We discussed the solution of being ma'af. We discussed all different techniques, all different scenarios. But one of the lama test melachos is toilish, is removing something from the ground. How then koitzer, removing something from the ground? Toilish is a tolad of koitzer. How then are you allowed to let your animals go out and pasture on Shabbos? They will be cutting grain, stalks of grain or produce from the earth, from something from the earth. They are doing a melacha d'oraisa. One, you would think that you have to muzzle your animals on Shabbos, or put them in a place where they will not come to pull something out of the ground on Shabbos. So the Gemara makes a drasha. The drasha is Laman Yanuach Sharcha, your ox should rest. Eating for an animal is considered its rest. Pulling things out of the ground is considered to an animal to be its rest. And therefore, Chazal making fascinating tell us that animals have only lamed ches melachas. A human being has lamed tes melachas. Animals have 38 melachas. They're not included in the isser of koitzer, because being that the Torah added the extra word of leman yonuach to rest, it's teaching us what is considered to be a natural rest for an animal is mutter for an animal on Shabbos and is not included in the prohibition of shvisas behemto. Lamed ches. If anyone ever asks you a riddle, where do we have a creature in this world that is only mechuyev in lamed ches melachos, not lamed tes melachos? The answer is animals. Animals are not included in the isser of koitzer, and that's why you're allowed to send it out. He says over here this whole chiddush in two lines. You're allowed to send the animal out into the street on Shabbos and let it pull things off the ground. It's mutter. Now it goes, well, let's say the grass was not pulled out of the ground by the animal, rather a goy has harvested produce on Shabbos. It's muksa. It's noilat. When Shabbos began, it was off limits for you. Now that the goy has cut it off the ground, it's now become noilat. It's a new thing. Noilat is muksa. You're not allowed to give this to your animals to eat because you're handling muksa and you're benefiting from muksa on Shabbos. The only exception is you have nothing else what to give them. Then it's going to be tzar balechayim. And tzar balechayim, when a guy, when it's done through a guy, we learned yesterday, is mutter. A shavus that's done, a mirul yakum or a malach that's done by a guy, or for your animals. Your animals are being nene from muksa, right? An animal is also in muksa, but animals, the muksa is only a shavus, and animals are not mechuyiv to follow dinim derabanan. They're only mechuyiv to follow dinim deraisa. Let's say the animals don't have what to drink. You're allowed to tell the guy to carry water for you. Carrying water for the Karmelis is Malacha Derabanan. You're allowed to tell the guy to do so because when it comes to Tzar Balechayim, Chazal Wamatur, a Shvus of Dibur, we discussed this yesterday. The Machloikis of Chazal Wamatur, a Shvus of Maisa, but a Shvus of Dibur, they were Matur. Tzar Balechayim, we allow you to instruct the guy to carry water from a Karmelis. It's not a Malacha Deraisa, it's only a Malacha Derabanan. It's Shvus to Shvus. Tzar Balechayim, it's only going to be Mutur. Halach Yudavud, Ein Toilin, Alabahema, Kis, Shaikli, Shatoichal, Mitoichai. Okay, you have this in the Gemara. They would hang upon the neck of an animal a pouch, a feeding bag. So are you allowed to let the animal go out into the street, into the Karmelis, or into the Rishus HaRabim, carrying on its back a feeding bag? Maybe we can argue that since the pasuk is Laman Yenuach, he has to rest. Eating by an animal is resting. So who says this only applies to the malacha of Kaitzer? Maybe we can apply this principle to the malacha of Haitzah and allow an animal to go out into the street with a feeding bag on its shoulder. The answer is no. Because if you don't put a feeding bag on its shoulder, on its neck, it will just have to bend down to the ground to get its food. So the difference between bending down to the ground and not bending down, eating out of the feeding bag, is a difference of tainug. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure not to have to bend down. You're not allowed to allow an animal to do something on Shabbos that's a pleasure, something that's not an absolute necessity. Ain toilet. Now, furthermore, besides, you're not allowed to hang up the bag. Because hanging up the bag, you're going to be metaltel the animal. The animal is muksa. Animals are muksa on Shabbos. So coming in contact with the animal on Shabbos, you're coming into muksa. Therefore, you're not allowed to hang the bag. Ain toilet al behema kiss a kli shatoichal bitoichai. Kevin chze ain el latainug bialmo al behema shlod tzach lasuach tzavara. Does not have to bend down its neck. The osum lutrech b'shabbos b'shvil tainug al behema. You're not allowed on Shabbos to trouble yourself in order to provide benefit to an animal, enjoyment. Aval agolim, when it comes to little animals, the agolim usiyachim, these baby animals, shet savara on their necks are very short, and for them, katzar umitztarim lechom in akarka, for them it's not just a tiny, for them it's an actual tsar. Mutter lilois lahen, you're allowed to be metal to them, muksa, you're allowed, since you're mechuyiv, to feed them, and it's tsar. Chazal lifted the prohibition of muksa in this instance, you're allowed to hang upon their neck these kli imachol, bechotzer, in the courtyard. Avlo yetsu bo mibnei shuhu kimasa.
What's the issue of giving tainug to the animal? What are you doing?
Malach, he says, it's tircha yisera. It's tircha yisera. It's a violation of the spirit of Shabbos. Mimoytze chefzcha midaber dover. It's a violation of the spirit. Tircha yisera on Shabbos is also for an animal. That's a takon of Chazal. Oh, when is it also? Only when it's for the tainug of the animal. But it's necessary for the health of the animal, then it's mutter. Okay, let's go further. Stam lechem in akarka mutter little as well. Kedei lehen kli imachol b'chatzer aval im lo yetsu bo m'nei shemasu lehen. You're never allowed to let your animal go out into the Rishus HaRabim with a feeding bag, even a small animal. Even if it's because the animal can eat inside. And this is not included in the head of Laman Yenuach. Chazal did not learn from the Torah that we lift the Isra Chaitzah when it comes to Shvisas Behemto for an animal. The animal can eat inside the Chotzer, can eat by pulling things off the ground. If it's in a state of Tsar, you can tie the bag on them, but they have to remain indoors or inside of a Chotzer. Halacha tezvav ein lash ein lash lash lahashliach tavua la'ifais b'makam lach sheyachol liyos sheyishar sham gitzas the yatsmiach achar kach. We're dealing with birds that you own. Birds that you own, chickens that you're responsible for, you have feed, you have bird feed, and this bird feed, if you let it sit around for a long time, after 3 days it takes root and sprouts and germinates and turns into grain, it turns into food, whatever it is, it's going to turn into something. So here it's to come out that even though it's a davar shedim schavein, you're going to be doing zoreah. You're planting seeds on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to feed the chickens in the place where there's a reasonable possibility that the leftover seeds will take root and will grow into something 3 days later. However, if you, the Mepharshim explain that if you feed them in a place where you know for sure every little seed will be eaten, or you do this in a public place where people are stepping on the ground and no way will anything ever grow in this location, then of course it goes without saying that it's mutter to throw them food. Okay, next halach. Hanoisein will come to Shalom Sehulachul soon. Hanoisein mispo lebehema also litna tchila bekvaro lehoitzi achoimetz unakoisai. If you want to feed food to the animal, there's a problem of boirer. Let's say there are pebbles, or there is some bran, and it's not healthy for the animal to eat these things, so you want to sift it before you give it. It's osur. You're not allowed to do any malacha of boirer for animals on Shabbos. El avalim enim chavim lekach, mutter lekachas osa bekvara. But if you do it in a way that shenem eschavein, you just throw it, you take it from the sieve and you put it into the trough, and you do it in a way which may indirectly cause some of the impurities to fall out, but you're doing it kalachar yad, you're not doing it in the normal way that you normally do it, so then it's mutter. As long as you don't do it in an unusual way, you're not doing it in the usual way, and you're doing it for the animals and to eat, then it's mutter. Another shayla, all the same shayla you have in the kitchen, in the kosher kitchen you have in the kitchen for the animals. You're not allowed to add water to their feed, because that turns it lush. It turns into a porridge, and the porridge is a gather of kneading. So you go in hanois and mursin bran lebehemos ol oifos oser lo seis lo sechen mayim because of lisha v'imnos and b'chem mayim erev Shabbos also the gablon b'Shabbos. If you already put the water in before Shabbos, now you want to mix on Shabbos, it's also oser avamutu lenarod mekliel kli kadesh sheyis arvu, but you're allowed to pour it from one utensil to another utensil. That is not lisha, that is shaloi kederech, and for the purpose of feeding your animals that you're responsible for, Chazal will make it and allow you to mix it in this unusual way. Halacha yudches, behemos chayis v'eifos hagdelu bebayis shem zanesem mutolim olecha, animals which you are responsible for, mutu loseis lochem mizonis b'shabbos, you're allowed to feed them on Shabbos. Avol oysan she'enem gedelim bebayis, animals that you're not responsible for, ve'ein mizonosem alecha, you're not responsible for, a stray cat, also litzoyach b'shvil litein lehem mizonos. You're not allowed on Shabbos to feed pets or animals that you're not responsible for. Even if you're not going to come in direct contact with them, you're just going to put food in front of them and they'll take it on their own. That is osur. Or lechein, therefore, also litein mizonos lefnei hayonim lefi sheyotzin v'ochlim b'sadeh. You're not allowed to go to give mizonos to the yoinim because they can find food for themselves in the fields. You don't feed birds, the pigeons, or yoinim, or doves. They can fend for themselves. You're not responsible for them, and they'll find for themselves. However, noistim, the exception to the rule is noistim mizonos lefnei kelev gafilu shel hefker yesh ktsas mitzvah. He goes so far to say that there's even a mitzvah to feed a stray dog. Don't try this at home. Yesh ktsas mitzvah, litin loim ad mizonis, a small amount of food, shaharei, he's quoting a medrash, shaharei, unusual for a halachic posek to use a medrash as a source of halacha. We discussed many times, is that legitimate to take midrashim and use them as a source of halacha? Well, he says it's a different. It's a difference. Yesh ktsas mitzvah litein. No, not because of that. Because Sharei Kadosh Baruch Hu chos olav al shem mizaynos of muatim. Because a dog's food, a dog can survive 3 days without food. Hashem created him in a way where the food turns around in their stomach for 3 days, because Hashem knew that they would not find food easily. And therefore, that shows that they're always very hungry. Hashem had to go out of His way to make them in a way that they can survive without food, even though they're very hungry. So that shows that Kadosh Baruch Hu, to give them food, you're giving them simcha. Yesh noyhagim loses chit. Now he goes on Shabbat Shira. There is a custom, an exception to the rule, that you're allowed to feed the birds on Shabbos Shira. Yesh nehagim loses chitim lefnei ha'ifos b'Shabbos Shira. So there is such a custom on Shabbos itself, on the way to shul, and of course in the place where there is an erev, you take out bird feed and you throw it to the birds. There is such a custom, and some people do it on hayom hazeh. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you should not do it. He does not hold of this. Ve'ein nachon shrei'ein mizonoseim olecha. Just because it's a minog, and just because you're doing it not to feed them, you're doing it as hakaras hatoiv, and you're doing it for very holy reasons, it does not override the ikar hadin. You're not allowed to feed a bird that you are not responsible for. So the best thing that you can do, according to the Kitzur, is to feed it before Shabbos. You put the food out in your yard before Shabbos. Okay, we'll discuss that. He talks about the reasons in the Shem Sefer Halacha. We'll come to that in a few moments. Let's just finish up all the halachas, the decisions of the siman. Halacha yutes, mutu lezamin in Yehudi lebeis lebeis lechel imoy b'Shabbos. You are allowed to invite a non-Jew to a meal for Shabbos, but you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew for a meal on Yom Tov. And this is a very, very big problem, especially in the modern world, where people have business associates and people have relatives that are not Jewish, things like that, all different types of mixed marriages and so on and so forth. It is a very, very big problem, especially you always hear the question being asked when it comes to the Seder. Come to the Seder, we have a long-lost cousin who's married to a non-Jew, and there's a child, and this and that, so on and so forth, and you want to invite them. It is a very, very big problem, and there are very few solutions to this problem. Not so simple. It's not so simple. It's hard pressed to find the heter. Because Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook. And being that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, you may cook more marbe b'shviloi. It's a tircha. You're being matriach on behalf of a non-Jew. Chazal did not allow you to exert yourself on behalf of a non-Jew on Yom Tov. Shabbos, you don't have to worry. Because Shabbos, you're not going to exert yourself. Because Shabbos, you can't even help yourself. If I can't help myself, how can I help you? I can't cook for myself. If I can't cook for myself, I'm not going to cook for you. But Yom Tov, when I can cook for myself, so I'll throw in another piece of meat. I'll throw in another chicken, whatever it is. So that is awesome. You could even make us just feed him all alone. The Avapi also is asking a very beautiful question. Why is a non-Jew different than a bird? Are you allowed to feed the birds on Shabbos? No, because they're not responsible. So am I responsible for the parnasa of my next door non-Jewish neighbor? No. So how then am I allowed to invite him into my home and feed him a meal lunch on Shabbos? The Avapi Shein Mizzoinus of Olecha, Mikol Mokom Kevin Shemifanisim Adilchavim. A new concept, Darkei Shalom. Because when it comes to birds and cats, there's no Darkei Shalom. They're not going to lobby government against us. You've never seen cats and elephants and giraffes come to City Hall and protest. You see donkeys, Democrats, and elephants, right? Elephants, Republicans. That's the symbol. The elephant is Republican?
Yeah.
Okay, so Taka, you do see. Whatever you see, but when it comes to... So there's no concept of darkish when it comes to animals. When it comes to human beings, watch out. Watch your back. A guy, you have to be good to a guy because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. In the Mela, we have this principle, the Alpi Shunim Zon Alechem, an incredible halacha, Mikol Mokom, Kevin Shunim Shanis, Ma'al Yidu Chamin, Derek Hacham, Mukhashuk, Kim Zonis, Valecha. Unbelievable, Mikor Adin, but a guy is no different than a bird. A bird you can't feed a guy. Only reason why we make an exception, you can feed a guy, is because of the principle of Darkei Shalom. Halacha Chof. Behem Achayiv Yev Shalom, Hurgulu, Adayin, Lava Biar, Biar, Lukuluk, Luv Shalom. What happens if you have animals? You have a dog. He's now touching upon the issue of tzeda. We learned this not so long ago. Let's say you have animals, they go out during the day, to pasture, and at night they come home, and guess what? It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your horse is? And your horse has not arrived. It's Friday night. You've come back from the Friday night shiurim, right? In the Yom Kippur Midwood, we have these big, beautiful signs. Friday night shiurim. You come back 10 o'clock, and guess what? My cow has not come home yet. They have not come back. The Erev L'Kluv Shelohem. L'Kluv means to their enclosure. They have not returned to their enclosure. And you're worried, what happened to my animal? Even though they normally come back, but today is a bad day. They've rebelled. They are on strike. They want better food. And they have not come home. Why? Mishum debeze hema nitzaidim v'have iser tzeda. This is a real problem when it comes to dogs. When it comes to dogs, people have dogs at home, and you invite a Shabbos guest, and not every person is so comfortable with a dog around. Right? So what do you do? So what is the Baal Bais? Oh, you're afraid of dogs? Okay, we'll put the dog in the other room. So you tell the dog to go into the other room. What do? You shut the door behind it. Big problem. That's a shail of tzeda. So it's a what? So even domesticated, when you limit them to a very small area, to a very limited area, that even by a domesticated animal, that is called tzeda. When you let them into an enclosure and they're not limited. Okay, that's a whole question. I don't remember. We learned those halachas not that long ago. I forgot all the details. But if it's very limited, it's seida. If it's not very limited, it's broad. They can walk around the whole house. They're not exactly in the room when you're closing the door. They're already in the next room. That is not called seida. And this is a real problem. Problem when you have a guest and you have a pet, and the pet is annoying the guest, and you want to lock it up in one of the rooms. So you're really coming into a problem of seida, and you have to figure out a solution for this.
You lock
in a chanami. That sometimes can be a solution if you are all right. The exception is, let's say the animals are domesticated animals and they have not come home, and in this reason, the reason why you warn them home is because there are ganovim lurking out in the street who may abduct your precious animals. So now it's going to be a hefsed meruba. A cow costs a few $1,000. So what are you going to do? So you want to give it a shove. You want to go out and push it. To push it home. So here we're getting with dogs. You're not allowed to mamish touch the dog, but you're allowed to push the dog around. People have pets. They have this problem. Animals are muksa. You can give it a kick, but you can't mamish take it with your hands and guide it or pick it up. Some people, they actually pick up their dog, pick up their pets, pick up their cat. You're not allowed to pet it. You're a leash, or a leash, you're pulling it. You're allowed to be doichik. When it comes to animals, you're allowed to doichik, to push a leash. You pull in the leash, or you put your leg against the animal to guide it, but you can't actually hold it in your hands because animals are muksa. Okay, let's go further. You're not allowed to assist an animal and give birth. You can't be the OBGYN for your animal. Even to support. Even I'm just here for support. I am the significant other. My dog is giving birth. I'm the significant other. I'm going to be here in the other room and just help it out. Give it a little assistance. I just want to catch the baby when it comes out. It got along until now without you. This is an anicle of the dog that came out of the teva. It's been around for 3,000-4,000 years. If all of its zaydis were able to come into this world without your help, don't worry. The baby, this baby, will come into the world without your help as well. Awesome, but shleibel aretz halachachav gimel make b'tchilas a fresh wound. If an animal has a fresh wound, sheyesh lahabehemet tsar mimena, animal is in pain. Sochin oisa b'shemen, you can smear. You can get your hands dirty. You can smear the wound with oil. But let's say it's an old wound, it's a scab, and you just want to do a follow-up application of oil upon the wound. That is awesome, because that goes back to the principle we said before of tainug, it's not tsar. Halacha chav dalid, im ochla karshinin. Well, so you're dealing with sidon, talking about the mareach. There's a shalom. So let's say you want to put an anointment. You want to put some Vaseline, a Vaseline on it, or some type of. I'm sure the veterinarians have all this good stuff, all things. So no, then it's taka problem. That would be a whole issue of a sicha of mareach. When you take a gel and you smooth the gel into a flat surface, that is a problem of mareach. You have a liquid, so just sicha, just smearing with oil. You're not doing the mareach. It's a thin type of oil. And he doesn't mention what would happen with all of the modern things that you can buy in your local pharmacy. Let's say you're karbe. Let's say the animal is nauseous. It ate too much for its Suda Shabbos. So what's the solution? The solution is to take it for a walk. Why don't you have it run around a little bit? That will cause it to cause its swelling to go down. You can cause it to run around the chutz. Will become tired, and that's the refuah. Let's say it has high blood pressure, and you want to let blood. So you want to let blood on the animal. So here, the other solution was to reduce its blood pressure. You can put in cold water. You can immerse it in the bathtub, and that will reduce the high blood pressure. That can be done. But let's say you really need to do something much more serious. You need to actually do bloodletting on the animal. Then you're allowed to do it. Like we said before, tsar. When it comes to some most types of refuah, even bloodletting is only nisur derabanan. Only time removing blood is deraisa is when you want the blood. But if you're releasing blood not because you want the blood, that's only nisur derabanan. So now telling a guy to do it is a shvus. So it's shvus to shvus, shvus to fush from him. That's makom tsar. We learned yesterday there's no issue whatsoever. That is 100% mutter. Okay, let's just see. There's one shira misan mahalacha, it's tes, b'shabbos shira. So we learned that on Shabbos shira, the minig is that there's a minig to go feed the birds, but you're not allowed to feed the birds that you're not responsible for. Where does this come from? So just elaborates, king kasa berheite, that it's usr. B'shem agen avram, v'ayin b'nimukin yarechayim, b'haminik hazel los, es eichlum la'ifas, b'shabbos shira, mekubal kain mi'agoyin ha'kodesh, harav menachem mendel mi'riminov. Menachem Mendel Rivlin was a very holy tzaddik, and his big thing was the man. He wrote a whole sefer on the Parshas Haman. He was a very, very poor person. He didn't have what to eat.
But only like 100 years ago. Right?
Only 100 years ago?
That's so long ago.
My uncle, after he retired, he was commissioned by a very wealthy person in London, I think, to translate his sefer. He spent a lot of time translating, I don't know the name of the sefer, in English. It was published by Kitaf. This person, he sponsored, for some reason, he wanted someone to translate the Menachem Leibunov, and he had a very hard time because a lot of the Sefer is Kabbalah. It's all these very mystical things. So he left all that stuff. I think he left it out. He just left it out, but he translated the
president
for Ramban. For the Ramban, yeah, okay. So he was a very holy person, and his big thing was the Parshas Haman. And he was very, very poor. He didn't have anything, but in his zuch, he always was mispalul for other people that they should have parnasa, and many people attributed their parnasa to his tefillos. The shoemaker's children goes without shoes, goes barefoot. So that was really fulfilled by him. So he was a very holy person. He explained that's the reason why we give food to the birds. One of the many reasons, because of Dasan Va'aviran. Dasan Va'aviran wanted to show up Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said that you shall collect the man on Friday, a double portion, because there will not be any man on Shabbos Kodesh. And what did they, Dasan Va'aviran, do? They took man and they distributed man Friday night all over the Machaneh, so that when the people wake up Friday or Shabbos morning and go to shul, they'll see this man in the fields and they'll say, oh, Moshe is a badai. Moshe is a liar. Moshe fabricated all of these halachas. Let's see inside. Besides Rav Menachem Mendel Mirim of the other Kedosh Elyon, that's one who was accepted by them. They wanted in their wickedness lachachish to show up Divrei Nevius Moshe Rabbeinu, the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, Chasher Higid Moshe Lekibulel Yom Shvi Lo Yerd Haman, when Moshe revealed that this man will not fall down on the night of Shabbos, Ki Shabbos Kodeshu Vehema Kamu Belayla, they woke up in the middle of the night and surreptitiously they distributed Upozru Min Mon, they distributed scattered Mon Shinishar Lohem the Erev Shabbos Aloretz, Kadesh Yuchlu Laharos Lefnei Am Sheyerdu Mon Belayla Belel Shabbos Kodesh. And what happened? The Hatzipar. The birds came to the rescue. The tziparim locked uzos kodim or hayom before morning. Varshamahin nimtzu b'shikrusam. They were proven liars. They're the ones. And hapachu. They're the ones that were proven liars. Al kain. Therefore, we give them the reward. Therefore, they have an eternal reward. Even here in America, the pigeons get their food. Noistim la tziparim chelkam miktsas malach esharis. Or Shabbos, we give them some of the Shabbos food. Wazecher. Lezecher Hanes, halos of this miracle. Ve'ayin Sham Sheherich B'Divrei Hamagen Avraham Anal Shekasav She'ein Nochon Laso Zeh. It's not proper to do this on Shabbos itself. Mishum She'ein De'ein Mizaynosan Alecho. You're not responsible to feed these stray birds. Ve'herich LaHalacha B'Bira Hadivrei HaHeter. He's marach there very much to explain Hadav LaHata that it's not so simple. That some hold that it is indeed mutter. The only reason why you're not allowed to feed is you're not doing it for any purpose. But when you're doing it for a purpose, you're doing it for a reason to reward them. You're doing it for a purpose for yourself to remind yourself of the miracle. When you're doing it to remind yourself of the Nevu of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe Emes, the Tadasi Emes, so it's not Shloi Litzach. You're doing it for a valid purpose. Doing it for a valid purpose, indeed it is mutter. That's the reason of the Merachan Mendel Mirimanov. However, other parties can say the reason why you give food to the birds is because it's Shabbos Shira is when the Medrash says that when the Yam split, everyone sang Shira. The birds were chirping together with the Jewish people when we sang Oz Yashir. Birds have a tendency to sing, they chirp, they are regarded as the experts in song. And therefore, in order to remind ourselves that it's a time to give Shira, Shevach V'Hoidah to Hashem, we ask the birds to assist us and make them happy, and we give them food. That's the more common reason than what's given over here by Rav Nachman Mendel Mirimanov. Okay, this concludes the laws of taking care of birds, of feeding animals on Shabbos. And Mitzvah Monday we begin a new sugya, a very complicated sugya of muksa. Just let me give you a very short hagdama to muksa. There are four reasons why you're not allowed to metatl muksa on Shabbos. This is all it says in hagdama to all of the svarim on muksa. The Rambam gives three, and the Ravid gives the fourth reason. The Rambam's three reasons are as follows. Number one, umimoytze chefsecha. We want a person on Shabbos to behave different than he behaves during the week. Of a person on Shabbos, if he wants, he can rearrange his entire house. Shabbos, he doesn't go out to work, so he'll do housework. And what's housework? Well, he has a tool shop. He's a mechanic. He has a car shop. So Shabbos will go in. He won't serve customers. The gates will be down, but Shabbos is a great day to rearrange all of the tools. if you're a craftsman, you have a lot of tools. It's very good once in a while to put things away, so you'll know where they are for your next customer. That would be an ideal thing to do. But if a person would be allowed to rearrange his shop on Shabbos, move around all of his tools and objects, there's really no difference between Shabbos and during the week. During the week, you serve customers, and on Shabbos and Saturday, you just get your shop in order. So you're going to lose out in the spirit of Shabbos. So it's a violation of Mimoytzei Chefzucha. That's number one. Number two was a very important reason. We allow you to be mutatel muksa, you may come to do malacha. Most items which are muksa are kelim shemalach toiliyaser. If you're allowed to move a hammer on Shabbos, I can move a hammer. Once you pick up the hammer, what can I do with this hammer? There's a nail sticking out over there. So let me bang the nail into the hammer. A vacuum cleaner has to be put in the closet. So once I'll move the vacuum into the closet, on the way, let me vacuum a little bit over here. There's a little bit of a mess from one of my grandchildren. Let me do this, let me do that. If you allow to mutatel muksa, it's very easy for you to forget yourself and come to do milacha on Shabbos. The third reason is a very interesting reason. There's a segment of the population that does not work. They don't go to work. They're on government programs. They're in Koilo. They're retired. They don't do malacha. They don't do any actual labor during the week. So for them, okay, whatever they do, whatever they're doing. But for them, there's really no difference between Shabbos and the weekday. If you have a job, you're a craftsman, or you're involved in some type of profession, you're doing something. There's a very big difference between it. So even if there was no halacha muksa, let's say Chazal would not have made muksa, it wouldn't exist the concept called muksa. There's a very big difference. On Shabbos, you work. 6 days a week, you work. On Shabbos, you don't work. But if you don't work the whole week, there's no difference. In order that there should be a difference in behavior for people who don't work, Chazal instituted the concept of muksa. There are things that you can't move around. It's nothing to do with mimotzei chafzucha. Mimotzei chafzucha is for people that work. The first reason is for people who work. But the things that you do on Shabbos should not be the same things that you do during the week. The third reason the Rambam gives is people who don't work. If you don't work, there's basically no difference in what you do during the week, what you do on Shabbos. And then comes the Ravid. The Ravid is an amazing chiddush. A lot of the Mepharshim, they're very, very fascinated with the Ravid. The Ravid says the reason why we have muksas only for because we're concerned for one thing only. You may come to carry on Shabbos. Okay, you know, it puts you in a whole different frame of mind when you deal with Erev issues. Okay, Erev, it's, on the one hand, it's a very big mitzvah that every community should have an Erev. Yet you find many Gedolei Yisrael, they weren't so hot about making Eruvim. In a very big city, it's very complicated, as Nisav Haitzah. Listen, so you know, you'll survive without an Erev. Where does this come from? It really comes from the Ravid to some degree. The Ravid was concerned. The whole reason why Chazal said don't this muksa, there are things that you should not touch and move on Shabbos, is because if once you're holding something in your hand on Shabbos, there's a real likelihood you'll walk into the street. Not malacha. Don't pick up the hammer. The Rambam says don't pick up the hammer because if you pick up the hammer, you may come to bang in the nail. The Rambam was not concerned you may take the hammer into the street. He's concerned you may bang in a nail. The Ravid was chilek on the Rambam 99% of the time. Amar Avram, he's always been chilek on the Rambam. It's not because you're going to bang in the nail. You're going to take the hammer and walk into the street and be over on the Isser of Hoitzah. So Sach HaKol, anything. Well, the Chazal couldn't go to the extreme. They can't make everything muksa. So they at one point they did. Nechemi, they made even everything was muksa. Even eating utensils. Even cutlery was that all that thing was that could what it could be was only exception. Maybe it was. Maybe it's not. But they used to when they originally instituted muksa, they went overboard. Everything was muksa. Even things that are. Which we consider to be mutter. Then Chazal saw it was a gzeirah shein reiv hatsiv yichel lambo. So they relaxed part of the rules of muksa what we have today with the rules that we have it at today. But it's because of an isra of haitzah. So it's one thing kedai just to remember: you take go away from the laws of muksa as a hakdama, and when you take away from to remember the four reasons why Chazal instituted muksa that your activity during the week should be different than and the activity on Shabbos should be different than we do during the week. even if you have a profession, even if you work. Number two, yishtakam du malacha. Number three, it was only made primarily for people who don't work, that their behavior on Shabbos should be different than what they do during the week, and they're writhing because of the isser of chaytza on Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop here.